are we doing, folks? You know what? We're not bringing anybody on today. We're just going to all start on together. Because I was looking for the commercial, the opening commercial, and I couldn't find it. So here we are. You got behind the curtain for a bit.
I'm officially throw off because I was yelling at somebody too.
Yeah, that's great. But look, you know who I'm here with? We got my man Jake and we got my man Wu-Tang Train. We are here to bring you the tap out today. So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. This is gonna be a good card from what I've seen. And we got a few cool things to look forward to. And yeah, man, let's dive right in. So, what do we have first on tap, Jake?
So, we got with the news of the week. It's kind of already been a thing for a couple weeks now, though, is the entire Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg thing going on here.
Oh, we're going to open with this.
Opening with this.
This might shoot our credibility right out the gate. Let's go. Let's talk about it anyway.
It's a win for everybody. It's a win for everybody.
Exactly.
But in all seriousness, though, let's be real. Mad respect to these two. I mean, they don't actually have to do this. I mean, they're the richest guy on this planet. You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't need to do this. And they're doing it. So it's cool to see people still kind of like, pushing themselves and challenging themselves. So I'm all for it. And it's a win for everybody, fans and non-like fight fans alike. So it's going to be a big number.
They want to see these two guys just beat the living crap out of each other is what we're getting from it. But this all stemmed from, I think, Zuckerberg reaching out saying, I'll fight you, because it was just a quick little bicker thing. Elon was like, all right, yeah, fine. But I don't think Elon realized that Mark Zuckerberg has been training. He's been training for a couple months, maybe even years now, and he knows how to fight. Here's the only problem. Mark Zuckerberg's like 5'8", 180, 170 maybe at most. Yeah. Elon Musk is like 6'2", 210. I'm like, there's a big gap here in like the size difference. So
yeah, this is like early UFC stuff with Royce Gracie taking down like monsters.
I forgot the guy's names, but it was from the UFC one. Give me one second. I am gonna look that up. But it was they had a bigger sumo guy going against this tiny little white dude in sweatpants.
Yeah,
tiny little white dude whooped his ass. And that's kind of what you got. You got a guy that's got maybe a little bit of skill in Zuckerberg, depending on how he's trained, going against Elon, who he's from South Africa, but that doesn't mean he can fight. So
yeah, no, that doesn't mean anything. All right, so like out the gate. There's so much to unpack here. First of all, this is going to be a big PR move. That's what it really is about. Honestly, both of these guys have, despite their money, we're obviously not talking about money because clearly they're doing fine. But in the public space, have taken a lot of losses in the last like 5 to 10 years, honestly. Like, despite what they have people who still like them, but Zuck's meta is bombing actively bombing. It's not working. No one cares. No one wants to live in that space. And Elon has done some things super questionable, the Twitter shit. Like, it's just not looking good, honestly, for either of them in terms of likability. And not that they were super likable to begin with. And then their likability has kind of plummeted. So this is going to be a way that they try to get us to like them. And I don't know if there can be an actual loser. We will both like them a lot more if they do this. But, man, if Elon takes an L here in this ring, despite what his money, like the things that he's been losing with, it's just not going to look good for him, man. So I look for, and then the number one thing that I look forward to is just, I just want to see these two nerds throw punches. I just want to see this happen. I just think it would be nothing but sort of just hilarious to watch. What up, Unc? How you doing, Chrissy? Appreciate you joining us. What up, Unc? How you doing, man?
Oh, my sister, you got in here finally. Yes, there she is. She's been dying to get on one of these.
Oh, she was first in. She was first in, man.
Heck yeah. Thank you for tuning in, my sister.
So, yeah, I mean, what else you guys think about this?
Like I said, I'm all for it. I'm all for it, man. It may not be the most like technically like skilled like display, but
may not. No, it won't be.
Hell yeah. It's probably be like a notch below like CM Punk.
Yeah. Something tells me Elon's gonna go out there.
No. I take that back. It's gonna be better than CM Punk fight, actually.
Shots fired at CM.
Well, it could be, but then at the same time, I could see Elon literally just going out there and just trying to grab him while you got freaking Zuckerberg going for freaking leg kicks.
That guy's like, CM Punk got smashed right from the get-go in his first fight. So I see this going at least a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah. They definitely let that go. And for anyone, by the way, wondering, the fight that I was talking about came from UFC 3, and it was Keith Hackney versus Emmanuel Yarbrough.
Okay.
Keith Hackney was 5'11", and Emmanuel Yarbrough was 6'8".
There was 36 people in the stands, and no one saw this fight. No.
The only bit that you got by is that UFC did keep their videos.
They believed in themselves that they would one day grow up, or at least knew that these could end up on Deadliest Axe tapes.
Yeah, thing. And it's freaking wild because if you go back and you see everyone who was really part of that UFC like domain, Dana's the only one left from the original cast, because Joe Rogan, who I thought was a part of it the whole time, he was not.
No, he came in a little later. They definitely capitalized on him having a little fame from what was the show he did where everything was gross? Fear Factor.
Yeah.
And then obviously his stand-up career, but Fear Factor was the real way that we...
And the only guy that they were able to keep until he jumped ship to Bellator, I believe, was Big John McCarthy. And he's even gone now.
Yeah.
Dana couldn't keep nobody. It's just Dana. Dana's, it says, it's all me, myself, and I. But that's pretty much it on Musk and Zuckerberg. If it ends up happening, let's bring it on. But a little bit of a side piece, too, because of that fight going on. One, Logan Paul reached out and said, since no one is getting on a card to fight against Patty Pimblett, if that fight goes down, put us on the same card. I will go against Patty Pimblett in a UFC octagon. And thing is, it very well could happen because Dana did just make a partnership with Prime. Prime is the official drink of the UFC. Dana could say, all right, man, you want to get in the octagon, you want to do it legit, he'll throw him in there with Patty.
What, before we even move that far forward, we'll, I'm going to circle back to that. What do we think the chances that the Elon fight, Elon and Zuckerberg, actually happens, though? Or is it just a lot of lip service? Do we think it's going to happen?
I think it has more of a chance of happening than the Logan Paul fight.
Really? That's fascinating.
How
about you, Mike? You think it's going to happen?
I believe it will happen. It will definitely happen. I think these two guys, they want it that bad.
Okay.
I see it taking place in like Abu Dhabi or somewhere, like Fight Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should fight on like the roof of like of like the Burj Khalifa. Like, they should just fight on the roof of that thing.
What's the chances they let this fight go for charity?
That'd be the only smart way to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't see them. There's no way either of them would take the purse. So
the thing is also to go along with that, Logan Paul did say he would fight for free.
Yeah, Logan is in a space now where he's doing so well with most things, but he did have a couple blips, and now he's trying to get back in good graces as well. That's the only reason he would do this, because also Patty's kind of the right guy to do it with, because he'll throw hands with him. But
thing is, though,
it's a nightmare.
If Logan does start connecting a little bit, I do see Patty saying, there ain't no way I'm losing to this guy. He's going to take him down with his jiu-jitsu and start and judo and start tapping him out.
Well, the reason why I don't think that this fight will happen is less about Logan and more about Patty. He has nothing to gain from this fight.
Man. Just a little bit of clout, that's it.
No, zero clout. You have zero clout beating up Jake Paul. None.
No, it's I, good agree, to get. I agree. I agree.
I get what you're saying that for, but I think it's just because of people would want to see that. So there's going to be a lot more, especially if it's going to be on the Elon Zuckerberg card, that it's going to be more visible. That's going to be one of their best pay-per-view buys. That could possibly get in the top three over a Conor fight.
I disagree.
You forget Patty's a god, basically, right now in terms of his status of where people love him. And this isn't going to help make him any more likable. In fact, the true UFC like fans are going to look at this and be like, what are you doing, Patty?
Yeah.
I said that specific fight would need to be on the Elon and Zuckerberg card.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where it happens.
Here's the thing. You're going to make a man train, you know, like 8 to 12 weeks for a fight that's not going to get him anywhere. It's not going to put him any closer to title contention or anything. He's like, so here's the thing. I'm all for these like freak show gimmicky fights, but there is a limit, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
So
not to mention that fight would be over in 30 seconds tops,
right?
If that,
yeah. So it would just, I don't know why Logan would want to do it. I mean, I kind of get it, because like it makes him look badass for stepping in the octagon when no one else is really willing to do that. But he has to realize he's probably going to end knocked out in that
fight. Yeah. Well, I think, well, I mean, he's the one that went in there with that exhibition with Mayweather. But again, I get it. Mayweather's old.
That's,
and Mayweather pretty much ran the entire time like he's done his last 20 fights.
He's not just old. He's a lot smaller than Logan.
Yeah.
A lot smaller. And it's boxing where the number one thing that Mayweather does is he's a great defense and counter puncher at this stage of his career. Whereas Paddy's got the hands, man. Paddy's coming for your head. Like, it's not going to be, he's not going to run around. Like, if there's any running on Paddy's behalf, it's going to be chasing him. He's not going to be running away.
I just think Jake Paul just wants his, or not Jake, Logan Paul wants his hand dipped and everything. Cause I mean, he's wrestling in WWE right now. He's got a match going into SummerSlam. Yeah, they got a lot of stuff going on, and he likes doing everything. He's doing the podcast. He does tours. He does everything. He just wants his hand in everything.
The Logan Paul brand is doing fairly well. So
I also would like to add, this isn't really part of the news. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to go off the cuff.
No, do what you got
to
do.
Ronda Rousey currently is contracted to WWE.
Yeah.
She won the women's tag titles with Shayna Baszler, who's her long-term tag partner and also best friend outside of the ring. They train together, everything. Her, along with Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke, they were supposed to be the MMA four horsemen in WWE. There's been reports released that she is leaving WWE after SummerSlam. She's doing this feud with Shayna to help get her friend over. She's leaving. Amanda Nunes has retired.
Yeah.
Reports say that Dana White has reached out to Ronda and asked if she wanted to come back and try to fight for it might have been the Bantamweight belt.
To save the class, and it's not going to help.
And the thing is, even if they let her come back and try to win, whoever she goes against is going to be 1,000 times better than her and make it look easy when they fight her.
Yeah, she's so out of the game, and it doesn't even matter. She could have been training and fighting this entire time. She's mentally broken. Holly Holmes kicked her into oblivion. She'll never come back. She shadow realmed her.
And then when she ended up going against Amanda later on, it was done. She was completely out of her mind. She was programmed to be undefeated and win, and as soon as she'd lose, she was done and would not know how to get back.
Holly Holmes kicked her harder than Jigen kicked Sasuke, man. That girl done. Nice. So.
But no, I think that's what Dana's plan is. They want to bring her back. I don't know who they'd take her against. It would have to be Juliana Pena. To be honest, she would have a better chance against Juliana Pena than anyone else in that division.
And that's still going to be a loss.
And it's still a reach. And the thing is, now, I think,
to be fair, she is still a world-class judo. I think she's black belt in judo. So, like, she's world-class at that level. But I just don't know if she's in fighting shape. And I'm sure she can get there. But, again, the mental part is everything.
Yes. Like I said, I didn't mean to go off the cuff there. I just wanted to bring that in. Mike, it looks like you've been wanting to say something about it.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. Like you said, she's mentally broken. Like, I'm sure they did reach out to her, and I'm sure she gave him a big fat no.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She can't handle, media pressure. That's what I noticed.
Right.
And that would be way too much attention, because you can't dodge those questions. You know what I mean? Like, why did you wait till Amanda Nunes to, retire to join back? You know what I mean? You can't dodge those.
You're right, but the best comeback for that is I didn't wait for nothing. They reached out to me. They needed me, so I came back.
I would say her PR team is telling her to say exactly that. Yeah. That's the question.
It'd be the ultimate comeback, and they wouldn't have shit to say after that.
If I'm Rousey, my answer is no, or make me the highest paid female fighter in your business, which we already know Dana.
Yeah,
all his prices are slotted. He's not raising the price.
And the only reason I say yes, I believe that this would happen, is because of whenever these reports release about WWE wrestlers leaving, 95% of the time they are correct. So she might be leaving WWE, but it might not be for the UFC.
Yeah, it might be just to do some more Fast and Furious movies,
right? Which those will never freaking end, apparently.
Yeah. The only time I see her really coming back, if it was like some sort of legacy fight, you know what I mean? Kind of like what Bellator does, like they put her up against Gina Carano or somebody. That'd be the more appropriate opponent. Just to sell them. Yeah, that'd be a fun fight. I'd be down for that, if they were to announce that fight. But in terms of for legit title contendership, nah.
Mm-mm. Now, say Ronda Rousey, if it was like a Bellator type thing, do you think that she'd still get her ass clapped by Cyborg?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, this is still a question that needs to be answered. And I still think there's plenty of time to answer those questions, you know. But we'll see. As long as, you know, but if people are willing to make a move.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thing is, I think I do like Bellator. I just don't think that that's the place to have big fights. I'm still waiting for the day Ryan Bader decides to untangle his panties and come back to the UFC.
I'm still waiting for the day when PFL buys Bellator out. If you want to make a move, make a move. You know? Yeah.
Because PFL's been on fire lately.
Yeah.
But that's topic one. So next news of the week.
Let me look for this right quick for you, fellas. This. We're going to pull up some interesting stuff right here.
I'll give you okay.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
This just happened this week on Tough. Now, Mike, I know that you're not a big fan of Tough. You never have been. Me personally, this season alone, if it's a fighter that I like, a fighter that I am like interested in, that I have a fandom of, I will watch it and try to enjoy it as much as I can. And this year was actually a very good season so far because they brought in old UFC vets who had got in there, didn't have the best of luck, got released from their contract, and they're there going against 8 setup prospects. Conor McGregor took every prospect. Michael Chandler took every veteran. Michael Chandler is currently 6-0 with his team against Conor's team. The vets have absolutely destroyed the prospects.
Oh, and Conor got the prospects.
Yes, and are you really surprised? Because some of these guys have 20-something fights under their belts, and they're going against guys that have maybe 10 or under. Now, yeah, hold on.
Also, their coach just sells.
Hang on a second. So, this previous episode, they got into the ring. And Conor was pissed off that they lost. He wasn't pissed at the other fighter. But Chandler had started it and said, stacking them up. And this is what happened during the little scuffle that they had.
Oh, great. I want to go to Instagram. No, it was just playing. No problem. All right. You're going to be difficult? Then we'll go to Instagram then.
Light technical difficulty.
You know.
I think the most interesting part about this entire thing is that Conor kept throwing jabs at Michael Chandler saying, have you ever fought in a world title shot? And Chandler's like, yeah, a lot, actually. Again, it was in Bellator, but he has been in world championship matches. And the only jab that Conor had back at him when they came face-to-face, he looked at him and said, you little Bellator tick, and that's it. And I'm like, I don't know why, but I thought that was funny.
Everything Conor says ends up being somewhat hilarious because of the accent and just he is him who he is. Yes. So.
But it was also yeah, it was this also is what happened. Funny. This is it what was happened also here. Funny because
against me and good job, great work,
stacking them up, baby.
Not against me and not Michael, yeah. Some of these kids are in the UFC before you're in the UFC. So don't be start trying That's to say, fine. Yeah, this and that.
As long as you show up for them, maybe if you showed
show
up for them.
Show up and break your nose, you little fool. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, man. What a Bellator tick, you little tick. What the f***?
Woo! Are we going to do this? We got a fight right now?
Oh.
Get out of my way.
Dino.
Push me. I'm ready to f***.
So that's that. I got to say, a lot of these scuffles typically feel scripted to me. They really do. Like you put two guys in the ring and not fully scripted, but you tell them do some shit.
I think the only one that wasn't scripted was the Chael and Wanderlei one when it was America versus Brazil. Because
those two genuinely hated each other. Yes. So yes, I would agree.
And it was hilarious because I saw Anderson and Chael do an interview together, or they were doing something together on the top of a post for a boxing fight. And Chael's like, you want me to go to your barbecue? Yes. He's like, you want me to go to Brazil? No, they'll kill you down there. Because the entire country of Brazil literally hate him. But Lewis, absolutely.
I would agree.
Connor attempts to coach at these things, but he doesn't do a very good job. Whenever it's a weigh-in for these fighters to do their fights that week, he does not show up to the weigh-ins. Only Chandler's there for the weigh-ins to face him off. He never shows up. This season is literally just show, and he doesn't sit on the side of the cage. He's in a nice suit, sitting in the back, shouting at somebody while Chandler and Bader and Henry Hoove, I think it is. Henry Hoove, is it that Henry? I don't remember. It's someone else. And they're up at the cage and they're coaching at the cage.
The difference
with their fighter.
The difference. So what you just basically said was, and it's very simplified, the difference is one is a coach, the other's a mascot.
Yes, pretty much.
That's what we're dealing with here. Connor's a mascot. He's not coaching them boys up. Which He's never been much of a technical fighter anyway, so I don't know why he thought why they thought getting him into coaching was going to be a thing. I think this is just to set up a Chandler-Connor fight, honestly.
Well, it's supposed to. The end of the tough series, they're always supposed to be a fight between the coaches.
Yeah.
But that's what we're getting into.
Or to buy Connor time so he can filter all that steroids, you know?
Yeah, oh, that's definitely – that was definitely a big part of it.
But now we're getting into the next part of this topic. But by the way, what's also hilarious is that there is a guy on Chandler's team that was a UFC vet that's on Chandler's team right now that was on Connor's team in Ireland, Brad Katona. There's a whole episode based around him about they think I'm a diva, that I want to watch film, they won't let me watch film, which is bullshit because if you're a fighter, you want to see film so you know what you're going against. So I'm with him there, but there's a whole thing. But this also goes into the next topic of the USADA with Connor. Michael Chandler was doing an Instagram live, just random, doing a push-up thing, do it with other people. He'd invite people onto his live, and he'd say, how many push-ups do you want to do? And they'd do push-ups together. They had a knock at the door. USADA showed up while Chandler was doing this live. I was like, oh, that's funny. And Connor hasn't even entered the USADA pool yet. But yet USADA wants to show up here at my house right now. What a slap in the face. And Connor can't even get in the pool.
Yeah.
So Connor's not even in the pool yet because they were aiming for a December 16th fight for the end of the year fight. Well, that's not happening now. But the thing is, I think that he's not – I don't think he wants to do the end of the year fight. I think that they're honestly waiting for UFC 300.
I can see that. But, yeah, he's got a lot of pissing to do to get all that out of his system. So,
but, yeah, no.
It's going to be a little while.
He still hasn't entered the USADA pool. This fight isn't happening as of right now.
Yeah.
Because at every end of the season of tough, every – end of the year tough that they've had for 31 seasons. I did not mean to say 31 years. 31 seasons, the coaches fight at the end of the year or at the end of the show. And this, so far, this one has not happened yet. And
It's probably not going to, or not anytime soon. They'll do it.
But the thing is, though, is Chandler's not getting any younger. He's 37 years old. He's
what, is Connor aging backwards? Like, trust me.
No. Connor's only 33, I believe. Now, Chandler wants to go for a title. He can't keep waiting on taking this money payday fight with Connor. I understand why most fighters want to go against Connor because they know they're going to get an outstanding payday.
If I'm being honest, I can't think for the man or speak for the man, but I think he has to maybe at some point come to a realization that he had a quick run. They gave him the fast track path to getting a title, and he lost multiple times. So I think Chandler knows now that he's probably out of the run. Maybe he can take – I think the path now is the Connor fight.
Makes sense.
The thing is, he's still in the top five, and he could easily get pushed into one more title fight, I think.
Yes, but it's harder to sell right now. If he beats Connor, which is the darling that everyone loves, even though we all know he's kind of been done for the last 5 to 10 years, like he's kind of been out of it for about 5 to 7 years. He's been kind of a sideshow.
Yeah.
But he's been still he's a draw because he's Connor. I think if he goes and knocks the shit out of him, first of all, that's basically the end for Connor right there. It'll be done. And then Chandler, despite the fact that we all know beating Connor shouldn't get you there, it's easier to sell it.
The thing is, though, is that I know people watching the show that are Connor fans will piss them off. Mike might agree with me. Connor's kind of turned into a glorified gatekeeper at this point in that division. It just sucks because he's a very good gatekeeper.
That's been his job for the last 5 years.
I don't even think he's even either.
Dustin in those last five years, though.
He's more of like a convenience, right? He's a name that the UFC can just grab at any time.
Yeah.
He's just somebody they kick off the couch and say, hey, Connor, we need you. Like, you need to do a favor for us. You know what I mean? That's
right,
how they treat him.
Just right here. Connor is Nate Diaz now, basically.
The thing is, though, everyone keeps going out and saying that Connor doesn't want to fight. He's done. He does not want to fight anymore. But I watched his Netflix documentary. The only thing he wants to do is get a fight, and apparently Dana's the holdup. Dana's trying to find him the most biggest money fight so that he can make some money.
The holdup is USADA.
So now the thing is that after watching the season, it's confusing on what way it goes. Is it Connor holding it up because he won't go to USADA, or is it because Dana won't find him a fight? Now it's like, hey, we found you a fight. Do your thing. Was it really
Connor? It could be all of those things, and I wouldn't take what Connor says to mean anything.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that either side's a gospel. I'm just saying that these are what both sides are saying. It's up to you to decide what you want.
Look, I look at
it. I am not doing that, Lewis. I said I'm just bringing you the news that I get.
Yeah. See, the thing is, like, I think people is taking this fight way too seriously. I treat it for what it really is. It's just a money fight. It really is. It's just to put, like, just to sell tickets. You know what I mean?
It's a Conor stays relevant. Chandler trying one more push to the title fight.
No, I think it's more like, you know, just make as much money as possible scenario with what little you have.
Well, that's the entire point, is to make money.
This is like a tier or two above Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. Like, this is like a tier or two above that. Like, it's not really much of anything.
This is the closest you're going to get to selling a title fight without really selling a title fight. It's so much money. You know,
this is like trying to do a BMF thing.
It kind of, and going back to, like, the whole Chandler thing, if you look at the cream of the crop of, like, the 155 division, he is dead last when it comes to, like, title contender, like, in the top tier, like, five, four. He's dead last in that. Yeah. We're going from one to five. He's number five for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, easily. He came in swinging, too. It was a great entrance into the UFC, and then that fizzled out really fast. Pretty much to like a microcosm for how he fights too. Mm-hmm. He comes out swinging, and then he's pretty much burned out by the second round. So yeah, that's fascinating. We'll see how that plays out. I don't think it's gonna get much further than. Let me see. Dana's tried to. Dana's tired of foreigners having the belt, recycling the trio of Poirier, Gaethje, and Chandler. It could be. Who knows? Lewis makes everything racial.
Well, we got one more.
He could be right, though. We don't really know.
I don't think we've ever had the news run this long. I'm pretty excited that we've had some pretty good talking points here. But
we're here,
Mike. You're front stage and center. Go ahead and give us the third bit of the news.
All righty. Well, some of the recent report that came out that I don't know if it's true or not. So Tyson Fury is looking to fight Francis Ngannou in an exhibition boxing match. Apparently, like, last I heard, it was supposed to be, like, a no-knockout exhibition fight. I don't think that's happening. I don't even think it's really going to happen, but really, the only point, like, the only reason why I wanted to bring this subject matter up is because I feel like Francis Ngannou, since he left the UFC, he's been, like, all over the place. There's, like, nothing other than, like, the PFL signing. There's, like, nothing definitive going on with his career. And even then, we don't know when he's fighting in the PFL. You know what I mean? And I think he kind of just overplayed his hand a bit in, like, all the negotiations with the UFC, with like, last I heard, Bellator, ONE FC. So I don't know. Like, what's up, Francis? Like, you know, can you help us out here? Like,
since Francis left, he has said and done everything but fight.
Yeah.
Which is all he's known for.
Well, when I brought you guys that little bit of news saying that he was going to go sign with PFL, Chael Sonnen said that when he signed with PFL, I don't think it was a fight contract. I think he just signed with them to be an ambassador. Mm-hmm. But so he has no fight lined up, and he even said he might not even fight in the PFL. He went somewhere to try to help fighters' rights, I think, is what the point was, because they believe that they weren't getting that in the UFC, which, to be fair, they really aren't. Like Will said earlier, Dana's got a price. This is it.
Yeah.
You want more? Nah, too bad. You want less? I mean, that's your fault. Yeah. That's kind of how he is.
Well, here's the thing, too, and I know this gets, like, brought up a lot, especially when it comes to, like, the boxing versus MMA pay ordeal. But I'm not saying, like, the pay scale's right in the UFC, but the difference between, like, boxing and, like, MMA, especially when it comes to, like, the UFC branding, MMA, there's, like, an actual, like, league with rosters, you know what I mean? Like, Dana has, like, 600-plus fighters under him, you know what I mean? Versus, like, in boxing, it's, like, individual, like, promoters have, like, a couple fighters signed to them, and they're, like, pushing for them. So that's why I feel like, you know, with the UFC championship, it kind of, like, a UFC belt holds a little bit more weight. Because if you look at, like, in boxing, it seems like everybody got a belt in boxing, you know what I mean?
But I got one little pushback to what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. He's got 600 fighters to look after. And he literally makes this seem like the UFC is a hobby to these fighters, that this isn't a lifetime job. And he does not want to pay them a certain amount. But the thing is, UFC fighters used to make a ton of money off of sponsorships when they had their flags, all their sponsorships, put it on their shorts. He did away with that, so they couldn't make no extra money.
Right, right, right.
So Dana's not for his fighters, in my opinion. Never has been and never will be.
See, I don't know, like, too much, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. It's just, like, he says, she says kind of stuff. But where you got to give, like, Dana credit is, like, he really, like, pushed and propelled the sport. You know what I mean? He got it legalized in New York. He somehow bypassed COVID. He was, like, the UFC was one of the only, like, sports league, you know what I mean,
to be honest. It was NASCAR.
Yeah. But... yeah, not to say that their things can't be better, right? But I wouldn't totally just like trash like their business strategy, because at the end of the day, this isn't like a market based thing, you know. Like, I feel like a UFC pay per view is no different than like a blockbuster film. Like, names like hold weight, you know.
Yeah,
and I feel like it's up to the individuals. So, like, you know, I don't like Conor, but he definitely did that for himself. You know what I mean?
Conor did a lot of stuff also because he's got the name to go with it. He was able to – not every fighter has that luxury of being a Conor McGregor. Very rarely anybody, maybe two other guys.
What does that even mean, though? You know,
what do you mean?
But they don't have what Conor has. Like, what is it that Conor has?
Conor's a character. Conor causes trouble.
Exactly. But, could do that, but you're not going to be able to be Conor, because then you're just a Conor ripoff. You can't be that. You got to make your own thing, like how Masvidal did. You got to have a charisma to you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Now, again, you could say that's just on the fighter to figure out how to do that. Right. But without sponsorships and being able to help your fighters out to be able to help them get sponsorships and do stuff, like Demetrius Johnson went on Twitch. That was a good way to market himself and do stuff. Right. He was able to make some money off of that because the flyweights don't get much attention. Right. Let them have sponsorships and stuff like that. And, you know, the most that you can do, I think, in my opinion, I understand you have a bunch of guys on your roster. I think you said 600, maybe. You got to at least try to offer these guys health care. You make a ton of pay-per-view buys. You sell out every arena you go to. You get a cut of the ESPN Plus deal. Now you get a little bit of the cut of the WWE money. You make way too much freaking money not to be able to offer some kind of a health care plan for your fighters. Right. Because depending on where you live, health care is outrageous. I know you know from out in California, Mike, when you live there, health care out in California is freaking ridiculous. You can at least offer them some kind of a health care plan. And if that's it. That's all I would literally call for. Yeah. You don't need to make a salary. You don't need to have this certain thing. You get paid for each fight you do. I agree. That's fine. Offer him some kind of a health care.
Yeah.
Here's
the thing. And I don't disagree with that either. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm all for that. But I feel like there is your business you got to handle too, though, when it comes to these type of things, you know?
Absolutely. Here's what I'll say. It's going to continue this way until there's actual competition, like genuine competition.
Right, right.
I liken the UFC to the PGA Tour. PGA Tour did whatever they did. They could pay. Now, they obviously... those guys got paid better, but it's been around longer. But they got paid a certain amount, and until LIV Golf came around, and then once LIV Golf came around, started throwing money at guys and became and started stealing guys, that's when the PGA Tour had to make changes.
Yeah, and I feel like that is on the horizon, though, because you look at like PFL and 1FC especially. I don't know if you know recently they surpassed the UFC in terms of like viewership and reach.
And yet the name still isn't there yet, which is funny. So they're getting more views on certain events, but yet most people don't, if you ask the casual, and this is what it's all about. It's all about the casuals, because your diehards are going to know the difference. But the casual fans, those are the ones you got to reach. And like we said, it's harder to deal with unless you have those fans under your belt. They don't know the name. They don't know the product.
Yeah. But you got to remember, the UFC took like 15, 20 years to get to where they're at. You know what I mean? So like I said, I can say for sure is like there's a genuine interest in the sport as a global sport, nonetheless. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it takes time. I just feel like it's really up to like the other organization to make like bigger moves. You know what I mean? Help promote their like guys a little bit more, especially because I feel like Bellator don't promote their guys at all. They don't like put an effort into like promoting their people.
And the thing Bellator's got going for it that I absolutely love. I don't know how you feel about them, gentlemen, but I love their Grand Prix. I think their tournament style thing that they do for their championships is outstanding. I love it because you get a guaranteed three title fights out of one tournament, unless it's a belt up for grabs.
So while that's a fun exercise or a fun way to go about it, when your alternative is to fight in the UFC, and if you win fight once a year for a big payout, no one's going to take the tournament over that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
No. You know what I wish they would do more, though? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. But at the same time, you're right about the UFC money, Will, but that tournament, you're guaranteed three fights. That's three payouts.
Is it, though? Are you sure of that?
Yes. Because each tournament, I mean, to be honest, I don't know how they work their payouts in Bellator.
Right. So
you have three guaranteed fights, and if they work the same way the UFC does, which you get paid for per fight, which I believe is what they do, you have three paydays coming from each fight.
Right. So, but we can't be sure until we know exactly how that pay scale works.
Yeah.
Because they could just get paid for the event instead of each fight.
But now, again, just so you know, how their Grand Prix work, though, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not all on the same night.
Right, I understand, but it's still basically a singular tournament.
But they do get paid, I believe, per event. So whatever the gate is for that event, what people come to those, they get paid for each event of a cut of like what the pay per view buys and the attendance.
Maybe that'll be a good thing to break down for the next show. We get more in depth on the pay scale of the other leagues.
Sounds good to me.
So we could see maybe take note of that.
Do you guys even think that Bare Knuckle FC is even on an up and up at all, or do you still think they're way too much into their infancy?
I think they're so early. Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever going to rise. Because
their biggest pay-per-view, I believe, was the last one that we ended up covering, which was Bare Knuckle FC 41, which is the one Rockhold was at, and he got throttled. So
I feel like Bare Knuckle FC has a home on, like, YouTube.
Fair enough.
The way Kimbo Slice came up.
I think the thing is, they don't even – their pay-per-views aren't that expensive. I think me and Jamie bought it for like $20.
I mean, that's a good start. That's a good way to like start, but like that also is not going to get you enough money to advertise yourself.
Well, exactly. So. But go ahead, Mike, with your point. My bad.
Oh no, just like going back to like the whole like money and competition and whatnot. I wish they'll do more trades, kind of like what they did with Demetrius and Ben Askren. I think to make the most like fights possible and keep them busy, I feel like there's nothing wrong with trading. If you got a guy sidelined, you might as well just trade him for like one or two fights. You know what I mean?
And they were the first to do that too between one and UFC. I don't know why they wouldn't do that more. I thought it was neat when you told me that that was really going to be a thing, because I didn't believe it, because you only see trades within organizations that are themselves, mm-hmm. like a sports team will. And then you see this happen. It's like, this is wild. This is something completely new to the game that they've never done before. Do more of it. I'm completely with you on that, Mike.
Yeah, that's between like competing companies, even though there's not a lot of competition. That's interesting.
But it worked out for both companies because Ben Askren had accomplished everything that he could have in one FC and was undefeated. Demetrius Johnson the exact same way, except he had lost to Cejudo finally. But he had accomplished everything else. So it's like, let's swap these guys and have a change of scenery for them each.
Definitely won that trade deal for sure. Like,
oh, 100%.
It was better. Yeah, that's the only reason why the UFC will be hesitant to like do another trade like that, because they did get the shit into that deal.
Why the fuck does the UFC have 600 guys?
Can't confirm. Demetrius Johnson did not retire.
Interesting. Okay,
but yeah,
probably should though.
I have no idea why Dana White would keep 600 guys. I guess whenever someone goes out, you need someone to replace a guy. Kind
of
like
600 guys. We see like 40 of them fight on a regular basis.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but yeah, it's we get to go a little bit further into that when we hit the card. But
okay,
that was the news of the day. We're gonna take
the first news. Break. We were head to a break. Y'all stick around, man. Y'all know where y'all bread's buttered. We're having fun here. Come enjoy the tap out with the fellas. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? It's Mike Larimore here. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to STWF Media for all of the love and the positivity they've been sending my way recently. We partnered up, you know what I'm saying? I just like the energy the guys bring over there. So any sports talk, you want to talk football, you want to talk baseball, they might even talk bowling if you're interested. Boxing, whatever your thing is, man, go check them out. There's a lot of great coverage over there. Again, it's nothing but positive energy from these guys. Go check them out. Peace.
And we're back with the tap out. You know how it is. So, now we're getting into card that's coming up tomorrow. I look forward to this. There've been a couple okay cards here and there, but I feel like this is going to be one of the better cards we've had in a while. Hopefully. Every time I say that, though, usually the card's shit. So
well,
let me not jinx it.
No, definitely don't jinx it. But this is definitely going to be this is going to be an insane card. I'm more than excited for this. As soon as they announced it, because Mike, I believe this is International Fight Week, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone has seen. Well, I don't know if you have time to pull up a picture, but I sent it. I don't know if anyone's had a chance to look at Yair Rodriguez's custom belt that he made.
Oh yeah, that sweet.
That belt is so awesome. It's a heritage belt for the his Mexican heritage. It looks insane. Will, did you get a chance to see that belt?
I did see the belt. Where the hell did you just send something to me though, so I could pull it up? Or I'll find it. Where was it?
It was in, no, it was in the tap out group.
All right, you guys keep going. I'll seek this out.
Yair's freaking belt was insane. That belt looked great. So what we're gonna do is go over everyone's favorite part, which is the card breakdown of the preliminary card and the main card. We're just pretty much gonna tell you what they are, news of them, and then we're gonna give you two fights to look for. But why this is everyone's favorite part is because of how much Jake butchers their names.
Yes, this is our favorite part of the breakdown is Jake bombing names,
man. I can't get over that belt. If they sold that online, I wouldn't care if it was $500. I might just figure out how to get it, because that is Mike said best. It's a lot better than the BMF.
Like every color from his flat, like that. Yeah, that belt is kind of crazy. I like
that. Looks much better than the BMF. They need to redo that BMF belt. It looks trash.
Yeah,
diamonds on there or something. Jesus, like.
I mean, yeah, the belt was trash because the belt itself and its meaning was pretty trash. So.
Yes,
I think they nailed it, if we're being honest.
But, maybe get some like lug nuts and like freaking screw them in.
Yeah, pretty much. It shouldn't even have been a big. It should have just been like a normal belt, like with a buckle.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Get it to look like the 24/7 championship for WWE.
Yeah, seriously. Tape. Just duct tape and shit.
Yeah. All right, so here you go. Let's see how bad Jake butchers these names today. We're starting with the bottom of the preliminary card and moving all the way up to the main event of the main card. Starting off your prelim card, you have Jimmy Crute versus Alonzo Minifield. Next, you have a women's strawweight match between, this is going to be fun, Yasmin.
Don't look Yard at me. Don't look at me.
Huh?
That's it. Don't look at me. Don't even bother looking at me. With this
versus Denise Gomes. And then we have a catch weight 130 between Tatsuro Taira versus Edgar Chavez. I said that one right.
All right. Hey, actually, keep an eye on that dude, Tatsuro. He's like undefeated, 13-0. Like, he's serious, man. He's one prospect I definitely like say keep an eye out for.
Heck yeah. We got Mike's hot takes. This is why we have our expert analyst here.
Chavez, another Mexican fighter doing work. I love it.
Hey, this. It's International Fight Week. We got to have all of them. We just can't have a bunch of Americans on this card, or it ruins the purpose. Next, we have the retirement match. Robbie Lawler versus Nico Price. This fight is going to be insane. Two brawlers that know how to go at it that is just going to absolutely slap each other. Yeah, wait, go down. Well, I wanted to see that. Oh, wow. He's a massive favorite, too.
Yeah, we got some odds here, so... Tatsuro is the favorite in this one.
Yeah, look him up. He has like a nasty ground and pound. Like he's for a Japanese fighter. He's like hella aggressive. Like
that's cool. Okay, he's like he's like the early fights of Song Yadong before Song Yadong tried to get technical.
Yadong, the greatest name in sports. Yadong.
Right? Yadong. Really, I've been begging for this for a while. I've always wanted fight odds on this. So thank you for pulling that up. Can you go down to the first two by chance for us?
Yeah, I got you. Bam.
All right. Jimmy Crute is the small favorite. The last time I saw Jimmy Crute fight, he had messed up his ankle really bad. I think he was getting leg kicked and he got a nerve shot and he couldn't use his left leg anymore. It was like curling on him and everything.
Oh yeah, I remember that. He kicked his leg purple. That was great.
Yasmin, I can't say that last name, is the favorite against Denise Gomes. Mexico versus Brazil, just like the main event of the night.
Your best is bet, you know, it's a start with a J. You gotta pronounce it like an H. So
H, yeah.
Is it Haraguay? Yeah, that's a tough one.
Woo. Yeah. And then we just talked about this one with Tetsuro Taira with a crazy amount of favoritism here. That's insane.
Yeah.
Next up, Robbie Lawler versus Nico Price, the retirement match. I cannot believe he's an underdog.
No, what I can't believe is that he's fighting his last fight and they put him in the prelims. Oof.
I know, right?
That's rough. At least make him the first fight in the card, right? Like, geez.
Personally, I definitely would have switched this. I would have put them on the main card since Bo Nickel's opponent dropped out of the fight and then put Bo Nickel on the prelim.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll make a last-minute decision. I don't know. Oh,
right. Now, Will, before you go up, yeah. I do want to ask you a question because I feel like you have not seen it. How much do you think Bo Nickel is favored by?
I feel like now that he's not facing the guy that he was already, it's got to be a lot, right? It's got to be.
Go ahead. Give me your best guess. It's a minus what?
Minus 850.
All right, go check it.
Oh, Jesus. Holy hell. Now, that is
for anyone willing to do this,
oh my God,
that would be an insane payout. Just that fight alone to put $10 down on if you felt like it to go with Val Yard or Val Woodburn.
Oh my God.
That is rough.
I believe that this is the biggest differential in over-unders in UFC history.
Like, this is not even like worth putting on at this point. Like, this is borderline illegal, man.
The guy that he was going against, Trayshawn Gore, was a stand-up guy. He had no wrestling. So Bo Nickel was gonna dominate him too. This guy is undefeated. He has he's 9-0. He has He's 7-0. He's got 5 knockouts, 2 by decision. He was a champion in whatever place he came from. But
dude, this is the first UFC.
Fight. He could be good, but we don't know nothing about the guy besides he's won 5 by knockout and 2 by decision and has no losses.
This reminds me of the Cheadle Kevin Hart interview where he's like, I'm 56. He was like, damn. Like that's crazy. 21.
Yes, that's the difference. Will, you were pretty close. I'm impressed. Next, we have another.
I was only close if no one else did like 851, like the Price is Right fucking undercut.
Yes. Next, we have another catchweight fight between Jalen Turner and Dan Hangman Hooker. As much as I like Dan, he's really turned into a shithead on me, and I'm not really liking what he's doing with his professional career. Jalen Turner came in 3 pounds overweight of the light heavyweight or the lightweight limit. This is actually going to be a very entertaining fight because both of their styles kind of clash. It's going to be interesting. Jalen Turner's a power guy, and Dan Hooker's a tactician. We're going to see how he decides to go against the power guy, but I think Jalen Turner's going to absolutely outpower him.
Yeah, I feel like we're Dan Hooker, man. I don't think he's been the same since the Poirier fight.
Or Chandler absolutely just launching his head into outer space.
Yeah. Like, By the way,
I'd like to just go ahead and point out that Jalen Turner is an extremely, extremely tall lightweight. Dude stands at 6'3". If Volk won the title and somehow Jalen Turner got to a title fight, that's 5'6 versus 6'3".
I think Turner should be a bigger favorite here. I think he's going to smoke him.
Yeah. I do too, honestly.
Now to one of Jake's favorite guys.
Yes, sir. We have Robert Whittaker, the Reaper, going against Drakus Duplessis. Duplessis has been an absolute steamroll since he got in the UFC. I believe he's 5-0. He's going against possibly one of the best middleweights of all time. Again, you're going to fight and say Adesanya is there, but Whittaker was there before, and he has gotten smoked by Adesanya twice. When you're talking about greatest middleweights of all time, Whittaker, Adesanya, and Anderson are in the conversation.
Man, I feel like Whittaker, he's just like Max Holloway in a sense of like they're both like division blockers. Like they may not get like gold again, but they also stop like, you know, the hype train with other fighters.
Yeah, they give you the feeling of like, just go home already. Like,
I mean, that's the reason why, you know, they had Alex Ferrer, like, bypass him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, we will see. So, the next guy to get a title fight, from what I'm hearing, how you doing?
No, you can't leave rehab. Nah, but for this card, maybe you should, bro. By rehab, in case y'all don't know, he's been not gambling for a while, and it may be over now because of this card.
So, a couple weeks ago, there was a middleweight fight between Marvin Vettori and Jared Cannonier. Whoever won got a title fight. Jared Cannonier is next in line to go against Adesanya. Whoever wins this fight between Robert Whittaker and Drakus Duplessis will get the next fight if, for whatever reason, Jared Cannonier can beat Adesanya, which I don't think will happen just because there's too much of a height advantage. I do take height advantage extremely serious in the UFC, and I think 6'4 going against 5'10 is just unfair.
It's rough.
I do think this fight has a chance of being fight of the night. Dragos Du Plessis is almost impossible to get knocked out. You can say the same thing about Robert Whittaker. This is easily going to decision, in my opinion. Who wins depends on who's hitting. But that is the third fight on the main card. Next, we go to the co-main event, which Mike might not be Mike might not be exactly excited about, but I am excited about it. Brandon Moreno versus Alexandre Pantoja. Yeah. I don't know how to say his first name. I know Pantoja though.
Yeah.
But this fight could also be fight of the night, but it's also a redemption story for Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno has lost to this guy twice. This guy has the formula to know how to beat Brandon Moreno. So even though he's favorite, I can see Pantoja taking this fight.
Rocket Man, welcome to the chat. Appreciate you.
Welcome, welcome. And now everyone, yeah, right. Get out of here, Lewis. Terrible take. Up.
What?
Getting slept in 2 minutes, my ass.
He might.
I doubt it. I'll make a bet. I guarantee he lasts 2 minutes and 1 second, Lewis. Take that bet.
He prices right at him.
All right. And the car or the fight everyone wants to see and can't wait, especially me. Alexander Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez.
He meant two rounds, not 2 minutes, by the way.
Oh, well, all right, fair enough. Never mind, I ain't taking that bet. All right. The main event, Alexander Volkanovski versus Yair Rodriguez.
Yair.
The interim champ versus the undisputed champ. Yair won a match between Josh Emmett to take the interim title against to hold the division until Volkanovski found out if he was going to be able to beat Islam Makhachev, and he is back in the featherweight to claim the full undisputed title. I completely agree with you, Lewis. I would absolutely bet on Yair. He is a guy that knows how to throw a lucky punch at the right time and be able to take someone out. But the problem is, Volkanovski does not get knocked out.
Also, you contradicted yourself. He knows how to throw a lucky punch?
No, he knows how to throw
He knows how to throw. Bottom line.
Fair enough. The only reason I say that is because of the way he knocked out the zombie.
Did he throw a punch?
No, it was a lucky elbow. Ask Mike about it. He was pissed.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed. I mean, I was also like mesmerized at the same time. But I was
he threw a punch, it turned into a duck, and then an up elbow, and it caught Zombie right on the chin and knocked him out. It was a buzzer beater. It was cool. Yeah. It was really cool.
I feel like something weird's going to happen in this fight. I have a strong feeling that something really weird's going to happen in that fight.
Who's going to be taking it?
I don't know. I just have this like gut feeling that something weird's going to happen like tomorrow night with those two.
Right. But that's the card, and this is why we definitely made sure we did a show on this card because
that's a lot.
This has got fireworks written all over it.
I like this card. It's going to be fun. So,
but now we get to move on to everyone's favorite part, our opinions of the two fights to watch for, which which is starting to turn into Jake's picks. I'm going to start getting a consensus vote between everybody because I need us three to go through this because I might pick shit fights and I don't want to be the only one to say I picked that.
Yeah, nope. On you, buddy, your show.
Will, the very first prelim card, please.
Yes, right back now. Sweet.
We're going
this far, right?
No. It's the very first prelim.
Oh, prelim. Jimmy Crute. That's early prelim. Yep. Sorry about that. There we go.
Jimmy Crute versus Alonzo Menfield. In the light heavyweight division, I believe Jimmy Crute is still in the rankings. He should be, I thought. He stands 6'2". He holds a record of 12 wins and 3 losses. Alonzo Menfield, who's also had a pretty decent light heavyweight career at 13-3-1. If these two are not in the rankings, which I thought Jimmy Crute was, but I don't believe he is anymore, are fighting to get a spot into the rankings. Let's see here. What we got? I just had it and I lost it.
What are you looking for?
Oh, here it is. All right. Minfield is a Muay Thai guy, while Jimmy Crew is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. This to me is a clash, a little bit of a clash of styles here. These guys could go out and absolutely throw hands, or Jimmy Crew could try to take the ground game. It's up in the air, in my opinion. These two guys, I think, are gonna tear the house down on the prelim. I can't believe it's the very first prelim fight. I think it should have been right under Robbie Lawler, but you gotta space the card out to where everyone's watching at certain times in the fight so they don't get bored, right?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, you don't want to front load it or back load it, that's for sure.
You two got anything on this fight? Opinions? Options?
Yeah. I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to pick at the end when we do picks.
Fair enough.
Yeah, same. Because I don't know. Yeah, I'm not too sure about these two.
Much help. All right, next we move on to the second fight to watch for, which interestingly enough was Jack De La Maddalena versus Josiah Hall. This fight got canceled.
Josiah Hall
pulled out of the fight last minute, and Jack De La Maddalena is now officially, for the second time, out of a fight on a pay-per-view. This is the second time that this has happened to him, and it was too short notice to be able to try to find him a replacement. So that was supposed to be our second fight to watch for, because Jack
like
is...
Does he have a henchman who's taking fighters out? Like, what the hell's happening with this guy?
Jack's just a hoss. He's another up-and-comer that's just... Apparently, no one wants to fight him. He's getting the Cumshot Chimaev treatment. Next, since that fight is not happening, we're going to talk about the fight that I definitely should have brought up anyway. We're going to talk about one now Hall of Famer, Robbie Lawler, going against Nico Price as your second fight to watch for. You have an absolute stud and legend, pioneer of the game, in Robbie Lawler. He's got one of the greatest fights in UFC history against the Canadian, Rory McDonald. He sits at 29 wins, 16 losses, one no contest. He's won the middleweight championship of the world. He's had one hell of a career. I'm sad to see him go, but the guy's 41 years old. It's his time to take a bow. He's got a very exciting opponent in Nico Price. Nico Price is a guy that can do it all on the ground, standing up. He's had some of the most exciting fights. He's one of the only fighters in the UFC to win via on the back up kick against somebody. They picked the absolute best opponent they could for a Robbie Lawler type of send-off match. Mm-hmm.
I hope Lawler wins.
I think he's just as excited to fight him on his way out.
Yeah. I hope Lawler wins. It's been a great career. Great-ish, but pretty great.
Why is he on the prelims, though? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's the only thing I got a problem with. This should have been the first fight of the main card. That's the only thing I'll say about this. But I hope Lawler wins. And, again, we'll get back to who picks who when it happens, when we do the picks. And what's the next fight you got for us?
No, wait, this was it. I just wanted to quickly throw off one more thing. Nico Price sits at 15-6. As I said earlier, he's won by submission decision, and he's also got 10 knockouts on his career, which just furthers my point of saying that this is, if you want a stand and bang guy to go for Robbie Lawler's way out, you pick the perfect opponent for him. I am really looking forward to this. This is your featured prelim. The one thing that I'm kind of bummed about is the fact that Nico Price is favored, and I don't get why. Is it because of the age?
He's younger. He's got reach advantage. Just an inch height. I just think with a guy going out, those are always – you would think that it's no pressure, but they always end up being a lot of pressure because you want to go out winning.
Yeah.
And you press, and then you're pressing against a guy who can knock you out. And also, Lawler bangs. It's not like Lawler's going to play it safe. He's never done that. So
that's fair enough, I guess. Yeah,
so
but,
I think that's part of why that is like that.
But that – that wraps up this part of the show. I believe we're going to go ahead and take one more break before we go ahead and give you our main card analysis and fight predictions.
All right. Let's see what we got for commercials. You folks stay here. We'll be right back. Appreciate y'all.
Hey, yo. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Darwin Price, man. Ground Sound. I want to give a big shout out to STWF Media, the big brand. You know what I'm saying? Where you can talk sports with NFL players and all type of fans, man. Go follow them on Facebook community. The big brand, STF Media, man. Shout out to them. Thank you for the support. Go follow them. Facebook everywhere.
We are back.
You know, a matter of fact, I think we already did our main card analysis, so we're going to go jump all the way down to the, not the early prelims, but the regular prelims.
It's pick time.
And we're going to go into our picks. So I want, how we're going to do this, we're going to at least try to have an order this time. Mike, we're going to have you go with your pick, your reasoning. Will, your pick, your reasoning. You obviously don't have to have a reasoning if you just want to pick the guy because you want to pick him. And same for me, I'll go last on it. We're going to skip the early prelim just because I didn't do much research on the guys. Unless you guys want to do the early prelims, we can go ahead and do that.
Nah, we'll go right to prelims.
All right, we'll go to prelims, and we'll start off with Jimmy Crude versus Alonzo Mayfield.
Why did they drop me out?
All right. I'm going to have to go with Mr. Alonzo over here. Yeah, stocky Muay Thai guy.
Now, I could be wrong, but isn't he the guy that lost to Joaquin Buckley with that crazy spinning kick, or was he the one that did it?
No, I think he was. No. I don't think this was him. No.
Okay.
Oh, what that spin kick of death? That was
yes.
Yeah. No, I don't think that was him. But okay. My God, that was still one of my favorite knockouts of all time.
It was one of the most insane knockouts I've ever seen personally.
I feel like everyone that video must run through every fighter's mind when they catch somebody's foot. Now,
I like, stood the fuck still when kick. I saw that. I was drinking a beer and I just
spit take. All right, what we got next?
Me.
Yeah. I'm also gonna go with Alonzo Mayfield. I think they have him underdog by a little bit, but I don't know. I just think I like the way he fights, and I think he has some power that is gonna be hard for Jimmy Crute. Jimmy Crute's gonna try to take him down, I think, but
I think audience, I normally don't let people change my mind. When we first started the show, I was fully with Jimmy Crute. After hearing Mike's thing about the Muay Thai, I actually think I'm going to be with Alonzo as well. Well, this isn't going to be a boring show where we all pick the same fighter, I promise, hopefully. And, I'm taking Alonzo on this as well because Jimmy Crute has had a lot of hype around him since he got to the UFC, and he's kind of been nothing but a disappointment so far, even though he's ranked. Next fight. Mike, I'm going to make you try to say it this time. Give Yasmin a chance.
Yasmin Haraguay?
There we go. Yeah. Versus Denise Gomes. Haraguay. Who you got, Mike?
I think I might have to go with Gomes just because that's just an easier name to pronounce.
I'm going hard with Mexico here on this card. There's a lot of Mexican fighters, and I'm going to choose them all. Except for the next one, actually. But I'm going with Yasmin.
I'm 100%.
Mainly because she's also favored.
I'm 100% with Will on that. I might be going with the entire Mexican themed here as well. So we'll see how that goes. Next fight. Tatsuro Taira versus Edgar Chavez. Mike, I think we already know your pick from earlier.
Yeah. Tatsuro Taira all the way. And it's not because he's Asian, okay?
Allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Okay, there you are. I found you, man. Yeah. No, it's because of his fighting pedigree, his resume. I'm just impressed with the guy, with his skill. And he's also, like, kind of a contradiction, too, to, like, what normal, like, Japanese fighter, or what we perceive Japanese fighters to be as a more, like, you know, I guess more reserve. More
so we're gonna see some Zhang Wei Li type stuff here.
Yeah, Zhang's we're gonna see more aggression. Yeah, we're gonna see him like push the pace of the fight. You know what I mean?
Let's all agree that Zhang Wei Li pushes the pace, and she's definitely an aggressive fighter. So if that's what this guy brings to the table, I am game.
Yes.
Will, who you got? Edgar Chavez? I'm kidding.
Yeah, this is such a favorite here. Tatsuro seems like he's got it. He's got it in the bag here.
Now, the reason being that I'm picking Tatsuro Taira is for the exact reason Mike is not picking him. I never go against Asian fighters. I always pick them for that. Not that reason alone. It's just because I think they're more technically sound and they're more precise when they fight. So I'm definitely going with Tetsuro Taira. No problem.
All right. Next.
Next fight up for you guys to pick from. Robbie Lawler versus Nico Price, the retirement match. What you guys got?
You already know, man. Lawler all the way, man. Respect. You got to stick with certain people to the end, man. And he's one of them.
100%. I'm definitely with you. I'm sorry. Well, I didn't mean to skip you. I am going Robbie Lawler.
I'm actually gonna go with Price, even though I really want Lawler to win. But
how fucking dare you? How dare you? Blasphemy. You look in the eyes of Judgment Day and you ran the other way.
It's funny because the whole time that we're doing this show, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna pick Lawler. And I just sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, nah, Price is probably gonna win this fight. So yeah, unfortunately, I think he goes out in the loss. Like I said, we've seen a few like final fights, and it doesn't go well. It just doesn't. The pressure's too much, and they're over the hill. There's a reason that they're retired.
The difference is, though, is that those fighters weren't Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, some of them, whatever. Yeah.
Look, Donald Cerrone was way over the hill and didn't need to fight. Robbie Lawler could fight at any point in this guy's life. He reminds me of, well, never mind. I'm not going to say that because he sucked at the end of his career. I was about to say BJ Penn, but
yeah.
Hey, you watch it too with the BJ Penn. Yeah.
I apologize.
I forgot, man. I forgot Mike's a Penn guy too. That's funny.
Huge Penn guy. My Lord and Savior.
Moving on. So that's it for the prelims.
That is
so
it now for the prelims. All right. Now I would really be shocked if anyone took Val Woodburn in this. He wanted to call me Yalburn. Mike, who you got?
Dude, this is fucking criminal. I'm not gonna lie. but I'm gonna have to go with Bo Nichols. Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Is it because of the favorite part or because he's got no name?
Here's the thing, man. He's a really good wrestler, and no offense to MMA and elsewhere, man. If you don't have like a solid wrestling program, you're gonna have a hard time, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Bo Nichols got this wrapped up pretty much. They fed this guy to a wolf. It's not fair, but that's what happens when guys cancel, or guys drop out of fights. So, look, he's not supposed to win this. He's getting fed to a wolf.
I kind of want like Woodburn to win, actually. Like,
it would be fun. It's a better story.
Much better story.
Oh yeah, it's better television. I may even place a $1 bet on him or a couple dollar bet on him. See what happens.
Why not? Could get lucky with that freaking odd. Yeah, why not?
What's $2 to $5 when you could get a nice little chunk back for?
Well, I think we have two fights in a row that we're about to all vote on the same guy because the next fight. Jalen Turner versus I take Bo Nickel, by the way. Jalen Turner versus Dan Hooker. I'm going Jalen Turner just because the dude's a freaking badass. Even though he missed weight, I gotta take the guy.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, man, Dan Hooker hasn't been the same since like the Poirier and the Chandler fight. Talk about getting knocked into the shadow realm, man. He was definitely one of them. So yeah. I'm going to go with Jalen Turner.
Now, real quick, I do want to point out to you guys before you take this, all because a guy missed a weight cut doesn't mean that they didn't care about their weight. It means they had a very hard time with their weight cut. So he might be dehydrated going into this fight, which would be a plus for Dan Hooker. So be aware before making your pick about taking Jalen Turner. I'm just taking it because I do think the guy's going to be a badass in the fight. I think he's going to take Dan Hooker over and it's going to be over. But carry on.
My hope is they go full anime and knock each other out at the same time. But I think
I think
Turner has this win. I don't really care for either fighter here, but I whatever. Let's give it to Jalen.
All righty. We're going on to the fight that I'm looking secondly most forward to. Robert Whittaker versus Dracus Duplessis. I'm definitely gonna be the only guy voting for this on one side. Mike, who you got?
Obviously Whittaker. I mean, I feel like Duplessis, he got some like holes in his game. And I feel like with a guy like Whittaker, he can exploit those holes. Like I feel like he is like lacking in certain areas.
What do you mean his hole is he likes getting punched in the face?
That
he does. He does enjoy that.
His pacing, he's kind of stiff to me.
He is, but I think the thing about him, I'm sticking up for the guy way too hard. He's got a gas tank. You can't out I'm trying to play off what you just said. He's got a gas tank and he could last an entire fight. He is stiff and he has some technical problems because he's new to the UFC, still getting the game, but he's ranked fifth for a reason and he's beat some pretty named or two named guys already. This is the ultimate test. This is the, like you guys said, is he here or is he not here type of test. If Whitaker loses to this guy, that's detrimental for his career. Dragos Du Plessis can only go up from here. And the biggest thing is both these guys got gas tanks. This could easily go to the fifth round and be an instant classic.
I don't put as much stock in ranking as you do because there's certain guys who are still ranked who haven't won a fight in like eight fights out, and they're still ranked in the top 10. So the rankings don't actually mean a lot unless you're actually winning, which he is. But, yeah, rankings are potato. I agree, Lewis. I would say Robert Whittaker here. I just think he's the veteran who's going to know how to take advantage of the inexperience of Du Plessis. I do think Du Plessis is still going to be a star. Maybe not a rising star, but definitely a rising problem on some levels. But I just think he's facing somebody who has more experience and is still a good fighter in Whittaker. So I got Whittaker.
I'm going with Dragos Du Plessis just because obviously I'm fully on the hype train of this new fighter.
For me, too, is that I feel like Whitaker has already fought this type of caliber of opponent in the form of like Romero.
Okay.
And so I kind of see like the similarity between those two. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. All right, we got the co-main event: Brandon Moreno versus Alexandre Pantoja. I can't go against Moreno. I'm going to beat you guys to this guess. I can't vote again. I can't go against Moreno. I don't care if he's lost two fights to this guy. Moreno's been the champ twice. He's overcome Deveson Figueiredo. I think he's got more experience. And they say whenever you become champ, you instantly become 60 times better than where you were before. So give it to him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
My fault. We went in reverse order this time. I'm going to go Moreno because I don't know. Ever since he burst onto the scene, I've enjoyed watching his fights. I think his gas tank, his energy in fights is infectious, and I just love watching him. So, and I just think he's very hard to deal with, a guy who keeps that pace.
Right. I'm going with Moreno. Fine. Oh, so my bad.
No, go ahead. You're good. Good to go.
I'm going with Moreno. I get it. Pantoja got two wins over him. But you gotta understand, Pantoja haven't been in a title shift like fight. Moreno is accustomed to going five rounds. He's done it multiple times now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's all he's fought the last, 3 years, 4 years? With the freaking four-piece of Deveson Figueiredo and then the one fight against Kai Kara France that was a five-rounder. Yeah. Insane. All right, well, all for Brandon Moreno and the main event of the evening.
Also, we've also recently seen somebody overcome this type of lost streak to somebody in Israel, and I know he's Adesanya, but still,
right?
We didn't think he would win, but he did.
So now we have a fight that I've been looking forward to strictly because I am a Yair fan. I've been pulling for this guy to get a title fight. He's finally got his chance. He's got a massive height advantage. I don't know about a reach advantage though, but I know he's got a height advantage over him, and I put that into account. But the thing is, when it comes to advantages, reach, height, weight, anything, Volkanovski, it doesn't affect him because he's going to go at you and beat anybody and doesn't matter who you are. I fully believe he beat Islam Makhachev, and I will fight that to this day. In my own personal opinion, I am rooting for Yair because I am a fan, but the analyst show host side of me is saying there's no chance Volkanovski's losing this fight, so give me Volk. But I am rooting for Yair.
Is it me?
Yep.
I'm going to go – I'm going to have to go with Volkanovski. I say he does it early on. Now, if it drags out later in the round, I can see Yair, getting a TKO. Because he's, known for pulling off, last-minute, knockouts, you know what I mean?
He's a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the underdog here. I'm going to go with Yair. I think I told you I was going to go heavy on the Mexicans in this card. Mm-hmm. I like the way they fight. I love their energy and their heart. And I just think, like you said, I agree with the fact that once it goes, if it stretches, I think Yair has the advantage there. And I think he knows that. So I think he's gonna try his hardest to not let Volk get to him early. And I think that's how he's gonna win this fight.
Fair enough. Yeah, this is gonna be a great card, guys. I'm glad you all tuned in for this because there was a lot of people here. I appreciate everyone that showed up for this show. I could see that there's some excitement around this card. This is going to be insane. Yair's getting his chance. Volk's coming back after a loss, so he's going to be pissed off. It's International Fight Week, which everyone loves International Fight Week. You guys got some shout-outs?
Man, shout-out to you, fellas. Doing a great show. Thank you for showing up. I appreciate both of y'all. I appreciate the brand and everybody who joined us every show out. You guys are why we keep going. Yeah, man, this is always fun to do. Like I said, we gotta do more of these. It's not our fault that we don't get as many good cards like this, but we do gotta find a way to do more of these. Cause I enjoy chopping it up with you fellas, not to talk about our chop up. That's a different show, but but yeah, man, yeah, this is fun. And shout out to everyone in the chat. Let me see. We had Lewis, like, who basically dominated the chat at the end. Rocket Man, Taquan was in here. Unk was in here. Lee was in here. Who else we had? Chrissy was in here. Bobby was in here. And whoever else, if I didn't name you, I still appreciate you for showing up. Keep showing up.
The consensus MVP, Lewis. Thank you for being
here. Yeah, Lewis kind of, I mean, he does that. He's an attention whore. So once he gets somewhere, he likes this.
And then
take over.
And then Will, always, I appreciate you throwing up the Mangekyo for us.
You know it.
Just wanted to point that out. That's not my shout out. Just wanted
me in the Leaf Village, you know.
I freaking love that poster. Every time I see it, I just like,
it's fun to have right there too. I put it there so we can see it too. So,
Mike, you got some shouts out, brother?
I have an announcement. It's cool.
Breaking news. Let's hear it.
hopefully, I'm not like announcing this like prematurely. It's still like in the works. The people behind the scenes are still working out the detail, but I am doing a fight at the end of the summer.
Seriously?
An MMA fight, yeah. It's an exhibition match. Like, yeah, it's at a grassroots event. It's not a big production. I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it. But, yeah, that's the only thing I got going on. So I've been training myself, been on standby, waiting for the word.
That's amazing.
That's bad.
I know who my pick is. Wu-Tang Train. I know who my pick is ahead of time. Well,
I'll make sure I do this in right. Mike's going to give me the details. I'll show up. I'll make sure I'm on FaceTime with you so you can see
everything. Oh, yeah. We need to see that. That needs to be a live. That needs to be one of our lives.
Hey, they say not big production. I'm making a big production. This is going to be freaking Wu-Tang Train debut, baby.
Oh, my God. You guys are like putting so much pressure now.
Hey, look, man. You want to get in the fight world. This is what happens, man.
Man, that's
That's lit right there, and I'm glad you're doing that. And shout out to you for stepping in. Hey, look, that's scary, man. Step into that octagon. Have some fun though, man. Make it worth your while, man.
Dude, I'm scared shit right now. I'm not gonna lie.
Just don't get KO'd, bro.
Hey, if you ain't scared or nervous, that means that you don't care. So
right.
You need to be human.
But I'll keep you guys posted on that.
Man, that's great news. Wow, I'm hyped. That's a great way to end the show, too.
That is. Well, hold up. I still got my shout-out. So.
Well, make you hurry up, then.
All right. Well, shout-out to you two for being here. Can't do this show without you two. I can't do it without the host, Will, who runs the entire show, finds everything that I ask him to look up. He's one of the best hosts. He's literally, you know, the junior to Coach Lee. It's fantastic.
That's my guy. He taught me a bunch.
Mike being our expert analyst, needing him to help me with names, past events, stuff like that. Always great. Congratulations on that fight. Can't wait to hear more about it whenever it happens. I can't not bring this up and congratulate these six individuals. It's International Fight Week. That means that it's Hall of Fame time. Congratulations to Jose Aldo and Donald Cerrone for entering the modern wing of the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to the very first lightweight champion of the UFC, Jens Pulver. Congratulations. This is all he was in the Pioneer Wing. Congratulations to Anderson Silva on going to the Pioneer Wing as well. And then to these two individuals for getting their fight at UFC 189 into the fight wing between Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald. They absolutely deserve that. All six of these gentlemen deserve to be in the Hall of Fame for everything that they did. They had their time on the red carpet yesterday. Donald Cerrone was crying. So was Jose Aldo. And Jens Pulver, a classic old school guy. You love to see it. Congratulations to all these guys. Again, shout out to all of you guys to show up for this show. You guys make it happen. This was our baby. Not mine anymore. This was our baby. All three of our babies. We made this thing possible because you guys wanted this show. So
we're going to keep doing them.
Absolutely. We're going to start doing fight nights. If they look interesting enough, we're going to make sure we start getting these pay-per-views down. Everything always gets in production the week of, so you guys get the best show possible. This month only, this month alone, tune into all the chop-ups because that's all the only time you're going to be able to see us unless there's another fight later this month that we're going to be talking about. Check out the wrestling shows that might be coming. Everything in production. STWF's coming at you crazy. So
like, share, subscribe. Y'all have a wonderful night. We'll see you next week in the chop-up. Come a week.